Good afternoon and welcome to the lunch date. I'm Sharia Farmer, the host of today's show. I am excited to have you here this afternoon with me another week of such awesome dates. I'm excited to keep telling you guys to make sure that you are involved in interacting with me and getting into a conversation about the different types of relationships and dealing with social wellness as a priority within all of our lives and strengthening our relationships. So today's show is pre-recorded because I am actually excited to say, and you guys have heard me probably talk about it by now, that I am going to be doing a presentation on at NCORE, which is a National Conference of Race and Ethnicity, which is basically a conference that tries to support different ethnicities and race relations within different college campuses across the country. So I'm excited to say that I'll be presenting this year on depression in the Black female student. And basically it's called Black Girls Blues, which basically will give some description of how to identify depression within the Black female student, as well as to give some coping tools and techniques for those professionals working with them, as well as for students themselves to take care of themselves while they are in college, on college campuses and at different universities. So I'm excited and I hope that I can be helpful and express the importance of caring for yourself to some of our next generations of professionals and just those who really need to build a continuing growth within themselves, but also in the community. So that's why this is pre-recorded this week. And as we've done in the past, even if the show is pre-recorded, I am especially excited about interaction and trying to make sure that we are really dating during this time, which means that you are communicating with me back as much as possible, either through social media, if you guys are still at work or and listening at a later time, where you can actually hashtag RS lunch date. And what I'll do is I'll be checking the hashtag throughout the day and trying to respond directly to the questions or the statements, or I'll actually respond within one of the next shows, depending on what type of question was asked and if it can be beneficial to multiple people to answer it. So make sure that you go to Twitter. That's where my hashtag, I'm sorry, I should have explained that part, but the hashtag will be on Twitter. And you go on Twitter, ask a comment. You can directly send it to me at my Twitter account, which is Sunshine Day 4. And what you can do is also still hashtag RS lunch date for me so that I can know that that's what the question is related to. So please do make sure that you interact or give some feedback as needed in order to make this an actual experience that you can benefit from in terms of a lunch date. So let's get started. Today's show has got some awesome subject matter that I actually love to talk about and also love to discuss with people, because it deals with the cross-sex relation friendship, which is, you know, a male and female relationship that is platonic, and making sure that we kind of talk about how important these types of relationships are, the benefits of them, and then some of the challenges of these type of relationships, so that we can learn to navigate them in the most healthiest way, as well as to make sure that we're building them and continuing to strengthen them as we grow and establishing healthy social wellness with different types of relationships. This is just one of the many great topics we've had on friendships, but I want to make sure that we talk about it in a way that we talk about the truth, as well as give us some tools to deal with some of these challenges. So that's the main topic. As always, we are going to have our communication tip, as well as our relationship with me, which is our self-love moment and the importance of establishing healthy self-love and taking care of yourself and just ultimately strengthening that portion of who you are and who you want to be. So let's get started with our first communication tip of the day. It's pretty simple. There are multiple boundaries or barriers to healthy communication, but one of the worst is poor listening skills. Many of us think that what's important in a relationship or in communication is being heard, but one of the most important parts of communicating in general is listening. The reason why this is so important is it actually allows for the person who is trying to convey the message to feel heard, but also to make sure that you're navigating all of the information as they're trying to convey it. So even though we love to talk and we love to hear ourselves make our points and establish our point, it becomes extremely important to identify the tools it takes to listen and to see where you're doing a good job at and where you're not doing a good job when it comes to listening. So as a therapist, one of the things that I do is considered active listening sometimes, but there's moments when there is silence and there's just strictly listening to be able to make sure the person feels heard. So some of those things are letting the person express themselves all the way through, and then asking questions to make sure that you actually got a clear idea of what they were trying to communicate, and where they may have, may have not made themselves clear, it gives them the opportunity to clear up what they were trying to say, to give you an idea of what they really meant by what they were saying when they said such and such. So it really becomes important to listen and allow the person to speak all the way through, listen to them, and then ask questions to make sure that you are clarifying what they said and that you actually got the message that they were trying to convey. Now, that is very simple, easy to do, and it may seem easy to do, but it may not be for all of us. But if you struggle with listening or struggle with not interjecting, what you may want to do is tell the person that what I'm going to do is take parts of what you're saying so that I can make sure that I stay on the same page with you. So then you're going to reflect back what they said to them earlier in the listening process, but you're still going to allow them to continue before you try to start a new subject or change the subject to fit what you think needs to be said. So remember, it's an extremely important tool within communication. So we know how to talk, most of us. Well, I guess, I would hope that most of us know how to speak to one another, and we will talk about speaking kindly. But the reality is that one of the best tools when it comes to communication is learning to listen and learning to strengthen your listening skills so that you can do a better job at being a good communicator. So I hope that tip helps for my listeners today. So you guys remember to listen. Remember that listening is not the worst thing in the world. It's actually one of, if not the best tool to utilize when you are trying to communicate that you're supporting and or getting to the point where you guys are communicating healthy and having a disagreement. So again, for all of those listening, and if this is your first time listening, I do not want to miss this opportunity to welcome you to our show about social wellness and the importance of taking care of our relationships and growing as we do so. And as we grow, I want us also to communicate with each other. So on Twitter, we have a hashtag that we have created for this show. It's RS Lunch Date, and I just need you to hashtag RS Lunch Date. And again, you can also tweet directly with me at Sunshine Day 4, and that becomes how we'll communicate. And or when we are having our live show, you can actually call in during the live show and be put on the show and ask the question and communicate with me directly. So let's talk about a relationship with me. So over the last few weeks, we've established some different ways of how we take care of ourselves and self-care and self-love, and really learning to really identify what it takes to take care of ourselves and really navigate a relationship with ourselves so that we can begin to have healthier relationships with others. And as you guys know, I am saying this probably every week since we've started, having a healthy relationship start with a healthy individual, and the importance of taking care of yourself can never truly be measured, but you can see it within the relationships and the types of healthy relationships you might have with others based off of making sure you take care of yourself. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about is that one of the ways that we care for ourselves is to invest in our destiny and our purpose and our dreams. And a lot of times when people use those terms, it seems so unreachable or so impossible for an individual to actually know how to do that. So I'm going to try to make today's self-love relationship with self and dating yourself something really easy towards your dreams and towards your capabilities to actually see past what you might be doing right now. And what I want us all to do, if you are somewhere where you can do this, I want you after the show today to grab a piece of paper. I want you to grab a paper and pen, and it can just be a clear sheet of paper, just one sheet. And I want you to fully write down a big dream for yourself. So what I mean by this is I don't want you to hold back in any way, shape, or form. So every year I do a vision board, and on that vision board I do a number of different dreams or things that I establish that I want to get complete within that year or with over my life. And what I've started to do is actually, instead of doing a brand new one, I actually add on to the one that I've used over the last few years. And what I do is I add on in order to grow my dream. But initially, how those dreams started were basically with me just sitting down and writing down some of the things that I want to do in this world. And some of the stuff seems far-fetched, seemed unbelievably impossible, and I wasn't sure how I was going to do them, but I really felt like it was important for me to actually get it out so that I can see it. So what I want you to do on your paper is to literally write down just one. I don't want, like, a vision board encompasses a number of different areas, a number of different goals and dreams. But what I want us to do in order to stay focused and in order to make this really an activity that can benefit you in the near future, I want you to just take one big dream. And for example, for myself, one big dream at a point was to open up my own training practice. At the time, it was just supposed to be training, and it was going to be about establishing a place where people can get professional or personal development. And it actually ended up growing way past that, based off of me starting to take steps towards that dream, which was literally opening up my own training practice as it relates to social work and social services. Now, if I were to tell you what I was doing, you would be impressed, but it all started from as simple as just writing it down on paper in order to start being able to establish some really good steps within that dream. And I'm telling you that the important part is that it's only one dream. Now, how you write about that dream does not, you're not boxed in, right? So if I'm writing about a business, if I'm writing about being a mother, if I'm writing about being a wife, if I'm writing about being a, and I'm sorry, fellas, but I'm using pronouns related to female because I'm a female. But if I'm writing about items that are about what I want to do in this world to establish a better picture for myself, I'm only picking one in order to get to the point where I can grow that dream and give steps to it. So what I want you to do is to really not focus so much on how to do it yet, because we're going to talk about that in a second. I just want you to write down as many things that you can think about related to that one dream. So I'm going to take one example and try to give you how that would look. So I'm going to take the example of starting my own business, right? So that would be my dream. So if I say starting my own business, then I would say under there, starting my own business in social services and helping other people, being able to make sure that women are supported in a way that establishes healthy boundaries in their relationships and friendships and in all different areas of their life, being able to make sure that people are establishing better self-esteem, specifically women. And this is really real for me, so I'm just going to use an example that I would have said before I started my business, for women to be able to identify the positive in developing healthy self-esteem and healthy self-image, to be able to make sure that we see the importance of financial wealth and investment within our community so that we can empower ourselves, but also empower others to improve themselves as it relates to how they take care of themselves financially, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, and physically, and making sure that all of those elements are taken care of so that you can see yourself as a whole. And so this dream, even just the simple start of saying business, would start to trickle off different things that I can do within that business that would be about making sure I've reached the dream, which is to start my business. And so once I saw all these things on the paper, the next step would be, how do I get this done? Right? So after you have, because I want you guys to really do this after we break today, or when you get an opportunity this afternoon or this evening, I want you to really take it all out of you in just one area in terms of a dream. And then the next step is to just relax after you do it. Take a step back, look at what you've written, and then see what really resonates with you at that time. Because our intuition, we take for granted how important it is to hear what our spirit is telling us at that time, where to start. And what you can do is, after you've written it all on the paper, you put it down, and then you step back and you say to yourself, what is it that I can do as a step towards getting to that goal? Now, some people are going to have written a goal that they've already started steps to, but then there's a next step. But for those who have written something that they have no idea how or what they're going to do to establish a level of commitment towards this dream, I really want you to take a second, look at what you wrote. Once you see what resonates with your spirit, what you can feel, and I really want you to take some time on this. Once you see which thing on that map or on that explanation or that paper that you wrote, what actually sticks with you as, I gotta do this, and how I gotta do this is, and then that's your first step, right? So if it's something like, we're gonna use starting your business. For me at the time, it was, okay, so I need to look into, how do people train people with CEUs? And so the first step was literally contacting my local National Association for Social Workers to see if they approved people or agencies in order to do CEUs for that professional element. The other thing, then, so after I did that, once I got a yes or a no, then I have a next step. And then after that step, then it's planning. What the importance of this goal is not to say that you're going to reach this dream overnight, but it's to say that you have a dream within you. Whatever that dream is requires you to take a step. I can't make you take that step, but I sure know that you have the capabilities of doing it. But the first thing you got to do is pull out the dream, look at the dream, and then take a step. When you are ready to take that step, you will. And I encourage you to dream big, dream larger than what you see in front of you, and then start with the small steps so that your dream can come true. So when it comes to taking care of yourself, you have to establish a level of purpose, a level of destiny chasing, and a level of dream chasing, whatever you want to call it, just so that you can know that you're important and worth whatever it is that's inside of you to complete. So take a moment when we're done today to really sit back, or even this evening when you have some quiet time, or when you don't have the opportunity to be around others, to just really write it down and then pick what it takes to get started. All right. I hope that is helpful in terms of some self-love and some really establishing some continued self-love, and even in starting to look towards walking in that destiny that I know that you want to be a part of. So I'd say do that, and I mean to do it with all of who you are in a way that is healthy and boundary-based. And we always talk over the last few weeks about making sure you take care of yourself. This is also a way of doing that. You have a dream. Now put it into action. All right. So let's get started on our topic today. Now, because normally what will happen is we usually take a commercial break. You hear me do a little tip about wellness and all that good stuff. today you're not going to get that because, again, we're pre-recorded. And although we're pre-recorded, I am still looking forward to some feedback on Twitter with the hashtag RSLunchDate. And if you have a question or some concern, or you want to give some feedback on today's topic or even what we talked about in terms of your dream, I would love to hear. Actually, I would love to hear some of your dreams, because it always feels good to either hear them and share them. And if you feel comfortable, I'll share them with others, as well as I would actually love for other people to check out the hashtag for RS lunch date, so that you can see some of the things that we are talking about or writing to each other. So again, dream big, and let's get started with our topic today. So our topic is something that some people have mixed feelings about. There has been a lot of mixed feelings related to male and female relationships. There's this, society, like, we kind of singled out this relationship appropriateness as the expectation of, based off of the expectation of reproductive systems, right? So, and how we reproduce and continue the life cycle of human beings, right? So we have this established cultural norm that says that men and women can't have, or really don't have, the best relationships when it comes to a friendship-based relationship. So I really think that it's important that we acknowledge that that's the reality of how people see things, and that when they see it this way, they don't always look at the benefits or the challenges within platonic friendships or male-female relationships. So what I want to do is really kind of talk about really the challenges, but also the benefits, and give people a little bit of feedback related to just taking care of yourself in a relationship, but making sure that you are capable, like, just acknowledging that you are capable of having a relationship with the opposite sex or a cross sex, based off of years of experience myself in terms of relationships, and really just knowing that they work and they actually have tons of benefits to them. So the norm really is really three things, how we see it. We see it as you cannot have male, female, I'm just going to call it cross sex friendships. You can't have them. So they're mocked. And you usually see things where it's like, it's the ex-girlfriend who now is your new friend. But sometimes there's no space or has never been any actual sexual relationship when it comes to friendships. And that's okay too. So I think what we usually do is we look at it as you only once dated and now you're friends, or you're one of the boys. And so, like, a lot of times is that person's a tomboy by it. And I'm saying that word with an understanding that that's a gender-based stereotype or description that can also be very unhealthy with how we raise our daughters. So I'm cautioning, but I also need to just say it because it's just the way that people view it. And then also the last thing is that at some point it's going to get inappropriate. That's the myth of all relationships that are cross-sex friendships, which is that somewhere down the road, you guys are going to cross this boundary that you cannot you cannot undo. And although there is some truth to the possibility or the risk of there being the challenge of sexual relationships, that's not the end all or be all of all relationships. So what I want to do is kind of talk about confirming or basically addressing the challenges. So I'm going to mention the challenge, and then I'm going to give you a solution and or a way to address some of the challenges related to that issue. So for example, one of the challenges that you may have is defining attractiveness versus a connection as a friend. So being able to make sure that you define the relationship within the relationship. So as a person who has a lot of male friends, who I actually have been friends with for years, now some of them 20, 30, no, ooh, not 30, Well, I guess I might have a few, but they're not as close in this later days. But I mean, my adult friends. So, like, I've had some of them in my life literally since I was 18, 19 years old. And these are my friends that I would do anything for the same way I would do for a quote unquote female friend. And I expect that they would do the same for me. So, in knowing that one of the things that was established very early on in most of the relationships were that this is a friend attraction, that we have things in common, that we come from a very similar experience, that our experience and what we have in common overrule that attractiveness that you may have and or not being attracted to the person at all. Because the reality is that you're not attracted to every male that you meet. You're not attracted to every female that you meet. If you are that just because you're heterosexual, it doesn't mean that you automatically are attracted to everyone you meet. And that becomes true for any sexuality or gender that you may be attracted to. Just doesn't You can have relationships that are based off of what you've experienced or what you have in common. So, making sure that you define the relationship very early on and establish boundaries that say that this is what we've established as our relationship. So, now let's be real. That means that the next one is a challenge, but it is very true. Like, challenge, the second challenge is really overcoming attraction, because at some stage in most relationships, but not all, because not every friend that I have a male I have a, am a male friend has been attracted to me, or me vice versa to them. That's just not the case. But there has in some cases, and I'm actually working with a young lady that I've been working with for a while, who has a very close male friend, that she had to redefine their friendship because neither of them talked about the fact that they both were now attracted to each other in a relationship-based attraction, which started to create a certain level of lust and jealousy and confused the relationship. But it really came down to no one communicated that they were having these communicated or acknowledged that they were having these attractions. So you couldn't even actively make a decision on either redefining your relationship or maintaining and keeping the boundaries clear so that neither party is confused. And in some cases, you know, if you're lucky, it will dwindle anyway, because there's the reality check that the friendship is way more valuable than the risk of us dating and then we both end up without such a great or awesome friendship. So there's always that possibility that you don't have to discuss it, but at least acknowledge it to yourself so that you can either shift how you're behaving or place boundaries to make sure that you are keeping the friendship where you want it, and not so much looking at the friendship as the possibility of more if that's not what the other party is what has signed up for, because you established a relationship that says we're friends. And for those who have male or cross-sex friendships, you'll understand this one. There is always the possibility that the person will be attracted to you and you not be attracted to them, and when it's mentioned to you that you can lose your friendship. And I have been, I guess, I don't know, the victim or whatever of such a tragic situation. But part of it was, now looking back, was that we never defined the relationship as friends versus the possibility of more from the beginning. And one of the things that I really encourage is that you make it clear, like, it's okay that, and I hate this term, but it's okay to friend zone a person and to determine if you can handle either being in that zone or handle not being friends at all. Because sometimes when it's not clear, the second challenge becomes even a bigger headache, because then you run the risk of, once they are fully attracted to you, they actually you lose them altogether anyway. And it's tough to lose a good friend just because you don't have the same interest. And I know that, because I've lost, and I actually have lost more than one, because I thought it was clear that I was friends with them, and in their minds they wanted more, and or they never communicated to me that that wasn't what they wanted. Which, looking back, I'm like, man, we had a good friendship. We could be still hanging, and I I mean, because even with my marriage, I still have my male friends and he still has his female friends. And that doesn't bother me because I know that you can have a relationship with a person of a different sex and it not be anything more than a really good friendship. So, and, you know, pour a little out for my homies. I lost. Anyway, no, challenge number three. So establish equality. Now, as the female in these cross sex friendships, I am going to say something that is based off of what I know to be true about cultural norms, society norms. And when I say that specifically, I come from a culture that with male domination and female submissiveness being the norm, there's some expectation that even within these relationships that are cross-sexual, that you are actually playing some of the roles that really a girlfriend should be playing. And one of the things that I'm very clear on with my male friends, and I'm sure they, and they all are clear on me, is that I can't play your girlfriend, future wife, because that's not the role that I'm looking to be. And so what I don't do is things that I wouldn't do for any of my other friends who happen to be the same sex as me. So all my friends get the same kind of love, right? So I hug and kiss all my friends. And that's the truth regardless of gender. And they all know that. So it's no surprise or expectation when I come for a hug and your wife is there, because I would do it if they weren't there, right? Because that's what our friendship has established over the years. So the reality is that I don't do things that are based off of my gender or the gender stereotypes, because that's a whole nother story and a whole nother, I guess, social wellness topic. But the gender expectations that people may have, I'm not going to serve you dinner if we're eating all together. I'm not going to expect for you to pay for dinner. If you're my friend, we're splitting this because we're all working professionals. So we hopefully all can afford to do this. And when you can't, I got you. And when I couldn't, they got me. So it really becomes about establishing equality within your relationship, regardless of your gender. And I say that because I know that there are some friends that I had to cut off, or old friends that I had to cut off, because I felt like they were trying to place me in the role of their girlfriend without even knowing they were doing it. And even after kind of having a conversation and, you know, me being a very clear communicator, it still didn't change. So I had to do what was best for me to maintain myself, as well as to make sure that there wasn't any boundaries being crossed, because either I was looking to date and to be married, and or I'm married. And either way, the only person that gets treated like my husband is my husband. And in turn, I hope that the only person that they treat is their partner or spouse that with that position or that role, because it becomes extremely important to both of us to establish that boundary of equality so that we can maintain it once we actually do have relationships outside of each other, and or if we already have them established. So I hope that makes sense. So making sure you don't put yourself into the character of either the girlfriend or the boyfriend for that person. Now, some of my friends right now, my male friends right now, they're like, wait a second, you sure did call me when you needed me to lift something. That's different. I'm doing that because you were bigger than me and you could lift it better. It's not because you're a quote unquote male friend, but that's your strength. And because I know a few of them are laughing right now because I did have them only doing certain things. But it wasn't about being my boyfriend. It was about the fact that you were strong in that area. And if I have a friend who's strong in one area, I'm going to utilize it the same way that you guys sometimes would utilize my communication skills, my ability to empathize, and even play off of each other's strength. So don't take offense, any of you. My fourth challenge, because it's only, I think, yeah, this is the last one, actually. The last one is how you're seen in the public eye. One of the hardest things to do when you are in a cross-sex relationship or friendship in terms of male and female is to really have other people have their doubts. So I have been questioned, like, and this is prior to marriage, because within marriage, they don't even question because it is what it is, right? But before marriage, I had, you don't call him your boyfriend, but y'all like boyfriend and girlfriend. I've had, you sure y'all just friends? you know, I had a lot of like questions around the different types of relationships. And the reality was that at some point, you as the friends need to establish who you are. You date outside of each other. You, just like with all your friendships, you spend your friendship, your time with all your friends. So I would go from one friend house to another when I was single because I had the time. And I would travel from one end of Philadelphia all the way to the other end of, or to New York. And it wouldn't be a problem, which, and I would never say who I was visiting. I would just say friends. And what I found was the moment I said I was visiting a male friend and they were farther away, it became, oh, maybe they're hooking up. Maybe they're doing something. When it really had nothing to do with that, it's just that I would do the same traveling for any of my friends, regardless of gender. And so what becomes really important is making sure that people, that in the public, you establish who you are too, and you don't blur the lines, right? So they're the friends that I've had to cut off from in those past relationships that were cross-sexual friendships or cross-sex friendships, I apologize. The reality was that sometimes they wanted it to be blurred, and I could make it very clear that that's not what I'm down for because I'm dating. And if I'm dating and it looks like I'm dating you, people may not approach. And or if I go approach someone and they, well, I don't even approach anyone. That's another story. But I just needed to be open to dating. And that's going to be really difficult if you're acting as if in public we are boyfriend and girlfriend when we're not. So making sure that in your public eye, you're actually not putting off anything that says that you guys are dating, because that's not going to help either of you establish relationships and or keep a healthy relationship. And one of the things that I learned with a very dear friend of mine who is Mel, and we are friends again, awesome, was that when I was dating unhealthy and the person that I was dating was very jealous of my male friends, I started to establish a norm that I didn't want to keep, which was to cut off friends that I loved and cared about because of his jealousy. And I would never do that now because I know what it cost me over that time when I was in that relationship and what it also cost my friendship. Now, the good thing about my male friend who I had to cut off was that we knew that there had never been anything that happened between us and there never had been anything more than friendship and that we loved each other as friends. And when I wronged him by making the decision to choose a boyfriend, quote unquote, over him, I actually apologized. And the great thing was that he accepted and forgave him. And now we are able to celebrate each other as friends now. He's able to interact with me and my husband. I'm able to interact with him and his wife. And we have a different relationship that says, although we let there be some blurred decisions based off of other people's views, we always knew that nothing ever happened. And now we're able to have a friendship that is real, related to who we are and not to what people may have assumed or assumed about us in the past. So I'm actually one of the people who advocate making sure you're clear and making sure that you communicate and not letting someone that you start to date or in a relationship dictate if you are friends or not with someone, because then we have to worry about how unhealthy that relationship is going to become later on. So that's a whole nother story. And we've already talked about healthy relationships and mutual respect and being able to really be supportive and identify and not jealous of others. But that really becomes important when it comes to cross-sex friendships. And so I want to close really with talking about the benefits. One of the benefits for me, or two of the benefits for me, the first being balance. One of the things that I really found with some of my male friends is that not everything is sugar-coated and not everything is neutralized based off of my gender or based off of the expectations of my gender. So I'm allowed to be all of myself, which sometimes that means I'm emotional and sometimes that means I'm extremely logical. And I find that in my relationships with some of my male friends, I'm able to go in between either and it's accepted. And I think it's accepted with no, and I'm also able to get feedback that way, where it's like sometimes it's emotional and other times it's very straightforward to the point so that I can get it and so that I can feel loved, but know that they want something better for me. And so I don't take for granted that maybe less emotional approach. And don't get it wrong, because you can get this from a male or a female. So I don't want you to think, because I'm actually a really logical, straightforward person, but I'm also emotional. And I think that it's healthy to be both, regardless of gender. So I think that's one of the benefits that I found over the years for myself. And these are my benefits for having a male friend. And then I guess what it also teaches you is that life is not all about sex. And when I was dating and had male friends, it was such an awesome opportunity to establish how to learn and build stronger relationships without the interaction of sex, and without the interaction of the possibility of attraction and trying to have more from this person. So it really creates this ability to identify the friend elements of a person, and to really know that this is who we are as friends, and that's enough, and it doesn't need to be more. And then when I was able to take that skill into dating, and especially dating within my faith, and really dating with the strength of not doing anything prior to marriage, I really wanted to make sure that I could use that skill. And I think without my male friends and establishing those boundaries that said that this is what you're going to get from me, and if that's not okay, I understand, and if you want more, I can't. And really what I feel happened was it made me identify things in even the people I was dating as either I can be a friend and have an attraction to you and grow, and then be in a real relationship with you and then possibly marry. So I think for me, I felt the benefits were very clear, that, you know, that non-sugarcoat, straight to the point, give it to me, no chaser. And also just establishing the boundaries that would also help me to identify things in males that were strong in a relationship and that I would need. And I just feel like, just like my female friends, my male friends have been awesome over the years and taking care of me when I needed them, and vice versa. I hope that they would say the same, that whenever they truly needed me or really need me, I'm always there. And I just feel like if we really think about friendships, it doesn't matter the sex or the gender. It matters that you're cared for, that you're supported, that you have a mutual respect, and that you love each other. And I just think that regardless of gender, regardless of sexual orientation, regardless of anything that can blur the lines of friendship, what's most important is that you care for each other and that you will take care of each other the same. So I hope everyone kind of got what I was talking about today. And when we talk about male and female relationships, we have a little bit more clarity on how to deal with some challenges within them. You guys feel free to give me some feedback. Tell me you agree, don't agree. That's fine as well. We are always open to having a discussion and communicating well here at, because this is our date, right? So you guys remember, self-love always is the foundation of healthy interactions. So be well. And guess what? I will see you next week.